when I came to Bowling Green, Jeannie and I, we were just married. We were expecting our first child, and we ended up in Bowling Green. And there were some people who had been here about 100 years, Dale Clark and some folks. I just sort of grew up in a lot of ways right here in Warren County. Jeannie and I spent 13 years here before we left. Went to Alabama for 6 years. Back in the Nashville area, we've been there now about 20 years. 11 years with the Brentwood Church, and now I'm working with a church that's still in the Nashville area, in the South Nashville area, down in Spring Hill. But I'm very glad to be with you this morning, and especially happy to talk with you about the preaching of the gospel in Italy. When I was living in Bowling Green, worshiping with the 12th Street Church, we began to support a couple of the preachers who were preaching in Italy, the Italian guys. They were friends of mine from Florida College many years ago. And before any of us were married, we were all in college together. They went back home and began preaching in Italy. Jeannie and I got married and moved to Bowling Green. And our lives have really been intertwined since that time. Because of that, several of you have some pretty tight connections, long-standing connections with some of these folks. And Linda and Larry get the Jelly Bean Award for having been over there most recently to visit and encourage these folks. And I know that was a big encouragement for them in Italy, and I hope for Linda and Larry as well. So this morning I just want to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing in Italy. I studied Italian at Western Kentucky here for about 4 years. Well, I took all the Italian they offered, the 4 years that they offered here. The year that I left here, Nello Barbieri, who was my professor, major professor in Italian, he moved to Binghamton, New York. He was a great friend as well as a very competent Italian professor. His English left a lot to be desired, but his Italian was perfect. And he helped me a lot in preparing me to do the work that I've been involved in all of these years. We've had ups and downs with our efforts to do this work. We have accomplished some tremendous things there. We have some other goals and objectives that we have not accomplished. One of the realities about foreign work is that interest ebbs and flows, and enthusiasm ebbs and flows, and participation ebbs and flows. And you knew I was going to get to this. And financial support for it ebbs and flows. And so we've seen some really good times. We've seen some times when we've been struggling a lot. We saw some times a few years ago when we thought the ship was going down completely on the work that we were involved in. But the Lord has been gracious to us, very merciful, and we have continued our work. And this has become a lifelong endeavor. My children now are very much involved in this work. And I have hopes for the future of it and for the things that are going on. So I'm excited to talk to you a little bit this morning about all of this. I want to tell you that my wife, Jeannie, has been very much a part of the work there. In the last few years, because of some health situations, she hasn't been able to travel with me to Italy. In the future, in the near future, perhaps, that's going to change again. But at least for the last few years, though she hasn't been able to travel, she's been very much involved in the work. And I would tell you that no one has paid the price for my work in Italy more than Jeannie has, not the least of which has been my absence for weeks and weeks at a time, several times a year to be involved in the work. Jeannie had anticipated being with me this week here for this meeting. Jeannie's father, who was a gospel preacher, died last summer. Her 91-year-old mother is in the process of packing up her house and distributing everything and moving to our house to live with us. So it's a huge work in progress that is going on right now. Jeannie has spent most of the summer at her mother's house taking care of her mother and packing the house. She is there, and she very much would have enjoyed being here this week and wanted me to tell you that. Well, I was just returned from Italy. I was home for one day. I came here. So I want to tell you just a little bit about some of the things I was involved in there. I think when I was here last time, I talked to you a little bit about the work. If I walk around, is that a problem? Okay. I want to tell you just a little bit about some things that we're doing right now. Last time I was here, I think I gave you a little bit of the history of the work in Italy, and I wanted to kind of bring you up to date on some things that are going on. Many of you remember Stefano and Antonella Corazza. Stefano Corazza is preaching in Rome. He is married to Antonella Berdini. Antonella Berdini would be the youngest sister of Gianni Berdini, who is a preacher that I work with very much there in Italy. So Stefano Corazza and Gianni Berdini, Antonella Corazza and Patrizia Corazza, and Origo Corazza, they were all at Florida College with us. There were five Italians there at the time we were there studying, and our relationships began in the late 1970s and have continued to this day. Stefano Corazza's father, Alessandro Corazza, is from Rome. This is Antonella. We were in a place having lunch together. Stefano Corazza's father, Sandro Corazza, preached there in the Rome area longer than anyone else in the 20th century. I would tell you, after World War II, when the Americans went back, time out. I forgot to ask you what time the class period is.
Generally about quarter till.
About quarter till. Okay. Sandro Corazza, in the late 1940s, when the Americans first went back to Italy after the war to begin some of the healing and reconstruction of Italy after the war, several gospel preachers, especially from Texas, ended up going to Italy. Sandro Corazza was the first Italian to be converted and baptized by American preachers after World War II. He was among that first group of preachers who were mentored and trained by the American preachers who were there. He began preaching for the Via Samuel Church in Rome in the early 1950s. It was during this period of time that Rodolfo Berdini was converted. It was a very difficult period of time. There was a lot of religious persecution that was going on. He suffered a lot for the choices that he made. About a year ago, last October when he died, I think I did a newsletter about his life. One of the things you know is that Sandro Corazza had been born into a very aristocratic family, very wealthy family. They were like Rockefellers. They owned castles and yachts and islands and plantations in other countries, and they were quite a family in Frascati. When Sandro decided to become a Christian, he was disinherited from the family. And so he lived all of his life as a, I'm not going to say as a poor man, Doug, but as a preacher. I'll let them figure out what that means. He lived as a preacher, off of the good graces of American brethren who were helping him to survive so that he could devote himself to the preaching of the gospel. That's the way he lived his life while he watched his family live in a different world. As Stefano would tell you, in the end, we were heirs to the greater inheritance. And I believe that to be the case. Sandro was quite a man. He preached at the Via Senia Church a number of years. Stefano joined him there in the work, and now Stefano is carrying on that work there. So one of the things that Sandro did during his time there was to publish, print, and translate lots of materials into the Italian language. One of our greatest challenges there is to produce good material in the Italian language that would be helpful for these young Christians in their pursuit of truth and their pursuit of Bible knowledge. Stefano and Antonella have two children. I just realized that I didn't include a photo of their daughter. Their daughter is married and has two children of her own. Please do not tell Valeria that I forgot to put her photo of her family in here. Their son, Paolo, is not married. He and Ryan and Riccardo Verdini are all about the same age. Valeria and Christy were all along the same age. Paolo is living now, he's 33, 34 years old, living in the Venezia area, not too far from Trieste. He works for one of the major European airlines. He is also in the process of becoming a pilot for the company that he flies for now. So he has a lot going on in his life. He's an exceptional young man. The reason I included him in this discussion, there's some folks sitting here who know Paolo and knew him when he was a little boy running around and playing with cars here in Bowling Green. So Paolo's grown up now. He's a great young man. Stefano Corazza in Rome has done a great work there at the Via Senia Church, where the church his father established back in the early 1950s. One of the young men that has been mentored there is named Marco Di Martino. This is Marco's picture with Stefano and myself there in the Via Senia building. Marco grew up in the church in Rome. His father had become a Christian, but his father had lots of problems. He left the Lord a lot of years ago when Marco was still very young. And Marco's mother raised her three boys basically by herself. And she did a remarkable job. Marco and his brother Gianluca are both still in Rome, and they're both pillars in the church there at Via Senia. Marco decided, as he finished his degree at the university, he has a degree in hotel management and tourism, as his brother does, and he decided that he wanted to preach the gospel. Stefano mentored him for 2 years in a training program. Marco now has opened a new work in another suburb of Rome called Ciampino. Ciampino is an area of Rome where the military airport is located. When the American presidents and diplomats fly to Rome, they do not go to Leonardo da Vinci Airport in Fiumicino. They go to Ciampino. That's the military airport. It's well guarded. It's used some for commercial flights as well. But Ciampino is an area of Rome. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And Ciampino is the area where Marco now is starting a new work. At the same time, he's continuing his work with the Via Senia Church there in Rome with Stefano. That work is going very well. Lots of growth in that church in the past couple of years. And a lot of exciting things are happening there. One of the things that we're talking about right now is where all of this is going in the next decade or so. Because I would like for the record to show I'm much younger than most of the guys that I know. Stefano would be around 64, 65 years old. Gianni Verdini will be 67 years old his next birthday. Francesco Foschi is already 71, I believe. Roberto Tondelli is about 70 years old. These men are arriving at an age where Gianni Verdini's father, Rodolfo Verdini, who preached 55 years in the area of Rome, he died in 2007. Sandro Corazza, who preached for
since the early 1950s in Rome. He died last year. That first generation of preachers is, for the most part, gone. The second generation of preachers, their sons primarily, are now approaching their later 60s, early 70s. Not to say that late 60s and early 70s would be an old age. It is to say, however, that there needs to be some serious thinking about the passing of the baton to the next generation and who's going to carry on this work and how we're going to get them ready to do that. For the first generation, the American missionaries who went over in the 1950s prepared them to do the work. For the second generation, their fathers prepared these young men to do the work. For this third generation, we've been working hard on that. And so a lot of our work has been focused on getting this next generation equipped and prepared to carry on the work of the gospel in Italy in the next generation. Stefano's brother, Arrigo Corazza, is also preaching the gospel. He is in the area of Pisa. Pisa is in Tuscany. Tuscany is the region north of Lazio. Lazio is the region of Rome. Tuscany is the region of Florence and Pisa and San Gimignano and Siena and all the beautiful Tuscan towns that you've heard about and you've read about. Arrigo preaches there in Pisa. He's shown there with his family, his two daughters, and one of his son-in-laws. A lot of my work is focused up in Trieste and Monfalcone. This is a photo of the major piazza there in Trieste. It is beautiful. It opens to the Adriatic Sea. Many of you have been in lots of beautiful places in the world, and you have seen lots of beautiful piazzas. I would tell you that this one is my favorite in all the world. It is surrounded on three sides by the buildings that you see, very much built with Austrian architecture. Because at one time, this part of northern Italy on the Adriatic Sea belonged to Austria, and Trieste was the Austrian seaport. So a lot of Austrian influence there. There's also a lot of Slovenian and Croatian influence there, because actually the city limits of Trieste touches the Slovenian border, and in about 15 or 20 minutes, you are in Croatia if you pass through that little section right there. So lots of Croatian influence, lots of Slovenian influence. The Baltic region has had a lot of influence in this area. Trieste is a very beautiful city of about 350,000 people. Johnny Berdini, when he left Florida College and went back to Italy, moved to Trieste in 1980 to begin doing the work there, and he has been there since that time. So what is that? 1980, almost 40 years, right? Almost 40 years he has been there. David Tomley is 59 years old as of last Wednesday. Johnny is about 8 years older than me, I guess. He and I have worked together for a long, long time. He's a wonderful, wonderful preacher of the gospel, a very gifted teacher. I would tell you that of all the guys over there, Johnny has a real special gift for teaching. He does an excellent job in understanding who he's talking to and communicating effectively with his audience. Johnny has a PhD in architecture. His father was an architect. He studied architecture. He finished all of his courses and his classwork in architecture before he came to Florida College. So when he came to Florida College, he and Stefano were in their mid to late 20s by the time they came there, older than those of us who were just out of high school going there. But Johnny finished his education, has his doctorate in architecture, but he has worked all of his life preaching the gospel as his father did. Johnny is married to Pina Berdini, Giuseppina, Josephine in English. They have two children, their oldest, Ricardo, and their second
is a daughter. Her name is Beatrice. In Italian, you say Beatrice. One of the things that we have focused on in Trieste and Montalcone, especially since Johnny Verdini's father died back in 2007, we began realizing his father had preached in Aprilia for 55 years. Aprilia is a suburb of Rome. When his father died, there was nobody standing there ready, prepared, equipped to step into the pulpit, to step into the role of the evangelist, to step into the work and continue doing the things that Rodolfo was doing as the evangelist in that church. You say, well, what does a church do when they don't have a preacher? Well, you call somebody, right? Well, in Italy, who are you going to call? There, you can count them on your fingers and have fingers left over. And they're all busy right now. And if one of them were to leave and go there, then you've got another church that's in trouble with the same problem. So one of the things that became apparent to us was that we needed to equip men of the next generation. We needed to equip them with the Bible knowledge and the skills and the tools to carry on the work of evangelism in Italy in their own generation. One of the big pieces of the puzzle is the financial piece. The churches in Italy, beginning with Rodolfo Berdini, Sandro Carrazza in the 1950s, those men were converted by American preachers. Those men have been supported by American churches. When their sons began preaching, Johnny Berdini, Stefano Carrazza, Rigo Carrazza, and others, when they began preaching, they, following in that same pattern, were supported by American churches who were trying to help the work in Italy get on its feet and get churches established there. The Italian churches, for the most part, are small. They are challenged politically, socially, and economically. The makeup of the congregations is as it was in New Testament times. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, look around, people. For the most part, we're just regular folks. Not too many high and mighty and noble are called. He didn't say you don't have any. He just said, this isn't a very aristocratic elite group. We're just regular folks. The Christians in Italy are just regular folks. But the difference is the economic situation in Italy. I don't know if you keep up with global economics or not, but you may remember that several years ago, Greece was just going down the tubes. And economically, they crashed and they were burning, sometimes literally burning, quite regularly. Italy is not far behind at this point. And the problem has been, since World War II, the instability of their government. I'll try not to say too much about politics, but you may or may not be aware of the fact that we have a two-party system in this country that doesn't work very well. Some would say it doesn't work at all. Italy has probably 27, 28 parties. It doesn't work very well. And as a result, their government collapses and they change governments on average more than once a year. You can imagine how much progress can be made in stabilizing a country when you get that kind of instability going on. And that's the reality there. I say that to you to help you understand that their economy has been in crisis for a long time. It continues to be in crisis. As a result, small groups of people who are, for the most part, just regular folks, have not been able to come together as a local church and financially
arrive at a point where they are fiscally independent, able to pay all of their own bills, and able to fully support their own local evangelist. That just hasn't happened. I do not foresee that happening next year. It's not on the horizon right now. Some of the churches are helping some, and part of the support for their preachers, but I'm saying to you, there's not a church in Italy, for the most part, that's ready to just step up and assume full support of their local preacher. There are lots of groups, not lots, but there are groups of Christians in Italy that have no preacher at all working with them. The ones that do have preachers that have been there, established, stable, sound, fruitful, and productive in the work, these are preachers, by and large, that have had the opportunity to be mentored, helped, supported financially, supported by American brethren. Now, what does that have to do with the grotto studies? One of the things that that I have planted my feet deep in the ground on and will not move, and Johnny Berdini also has dug his heels in a very solid way, is that both of us are unanimous in our agreement that we will not mentor a third generation of Italian preachers to write to American brethren and ask for support. We are not doing that. The church has been established in Italy again since the early 1950s. It is true that economically they are in a different place. It is true that socially and politically they are in a different place. It is true that the paradigms of how we start local churches here, those paradigms do not work in Italy. That is true. However, they've got to figure out a way to work with their own resources, do their own work with their own resources, utilizing their own people. And so, one of the objectives that we had was that we were going to begin to train the younger men, 65 and below, okay? We're going to begin to train the younger men to develop the ability to teach Bible classes, to prepare sermons, to deliver sermons, to write articles and materials for the brethren, to write teaching materials to be published. We decided that we were going to equip lots of young men to do this, and that we would try to leave a situation where in these churches, especially in Trieste and Monfalcone, there would be several men in the church who could share in the preaching. They could share in the Bible class teaching. They could share in the writing of articles and materials that they would publish and put around. They could share in the work of the public evangelism and the gospel meetings. That was our idea. So we began the grotto studies. The word grotto, people say, what does the word grotto mean in the Bible? The word grotto is not in the Bible. The word grotto, it's a city in Italy. That's where we went to have our first collective full immersion studies. And so we've always called them the grotto studies because we were in grotto Italy. Now, when this has become a metaphor for us when we refer to these kind of studies, we just call them grotto studies. And grotto studies to us means the studies that are designed to equip men to carry on the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:2. That's what we're trying to do here in Italy. And so, in these studies of full immersion, we take these men at the end of August when we do the full immersion studies. We take them at the end of August. We take them out of their habitat because we don't want them distracted with anything. We want them from morning to night. We want them from the time they get up until the time they go to sleep. We want to be together. We want to be fully immersed in spiritual things, in biblical studies. We want to do classes. We want to talk about the reality of the church and where we are and what we need. We eat together. We work together. We study together.
We sing together because we work on song leading and things like that. I generally teach the section on homiletics, the preparation and presentation of Bible lessons. That's generally the area that I do. Antonio Tomasi is one of the elders in the Trieste Church. Taught church history. Fiorenzo taught public speaking. Johnny Berdini's son, who now actually is living in the States, he was teaching the section on song leading. This is a man who attended the Grotto Studies for several years. He would be in his 50s now. He studied for 7 years before he became a Christian. He did not want to be deluded about what he was doing and didn't want to be making any mistakes. His name is Benito. He's quite a fella. These are some of the folks who were participating in the Grotto study, some really great young men. These are some of the young men that we've had most recently, some of the youngest ones who are coming now to the Grotto studies. I have about 5 minutes left. I want to tell you about a couple of these because I think the personal stories help you to understand where we are and what we're doing. This young man's name is Stefano Kuka. He's 18 years old. Stefano's mother is Esther. She comes from Chile. Esther's mother, Esther's father is deceased. Her mother also moved with her from Chile. Esther, in Chile, Esther was married to an Italian man. I don't know if you know this or not, but in South America, especially in the south part of South America, Argentina, Chile, places like that, lots of Italians live there. I don't know if it has anything to do with soccer or not, but anyway, a lot of Italians live in that part of the world. She married to an Italian man, and the Italian man moved her back to Italy, to his home. Her mother, who was a widow, came with them. Esther and her husband have one child, a son. His name is Stefano. Esther and her mother became New Testament Christians. Esther's husband, Stefano's father, he was born in Italy, so he is a baptized Roman Catholic, but in reality, he doesn't believe anything, really. This man and his wife, Esther, have one child. His name is Stefano. Stefano is a remarkable young man. His mother and grandmother, this is sort of the Timothy story in the New Testament. His mother and grandmother taught him about Jesus from the time he was born. They were teaching him the Bible. They were reading him Bible stories. They were talking to him every day about the great men and women of the Bible. This young man is a remarkable student. He is intellectually gifted. He's at the top. He's also a very gifted soccer player. His father is very tuned in to his soccer. His father is very tuned in to his academic achievement. His father does not understand or care anything about this religious stuff. But Stefano does. And just this past week, I'll tell you this, just to tell you, at the Grotto Studies, this is a photo of him at the Grotto Studies. He was doing his presentation on one of the parables. Stefano was so happy to be there. He had to give up his soccer camp for a week with his team to come to the Grotto Studies. He had some academic exams to take, and he went and took early so that he could leave early and come and be with us in these classes and these studies. I'll tell you, his father had nothing for any of that. His mother and his grandmother, they were rejoicing. This young man is trying to be what he understands God wants him to be. He has no example at home. None. He goes
goes to school. There's not one single New Testament Christian in the school where he is. Not one. Nobody on the soccer team. Nobody in the academic team. Nobody around him. He lives in a little town outside of Trieste and Monfalcone, a little village. Nobody in his town who is like him. He's the only one. You cannot begin to imagine what it is for him to come for this week, to be together, eat breakfast together, go to classes together, go to lunch together, do presentations together, stay together, talk together, work together, all with men who love God, who are studying the Bible, who are excited about Jesus, who are wanting to do what is right. That's why we do the Grotto Studies. And his mother has made a difference in his life.
Daniel Scorici is in the Trieste church, a very similar story. His father immigrated to Italy from Romania, very difficult situation. His father worked for 3 years and saved money. Daniel was a little boy at home with his other four siblings. His father was away from home for 3 years working, saving money so he could bring his family there so they could eat and survive and live. His father didn't know much about anything, but his mother sent word to his father, please find somebody who will help you study the Bible. Just find somebody who will study the Bible with you. And he found Johnny Verdini. And he and Nikolai became a Christian, and he moved his family there. And now Nikolai's family is all in the Trieste church. It's a wonderful story about this young man. Pietro is in the church in Monfalcone. He was baptized in Trieste. He works for undercover law enforcement. He's quite a character in many respects. I would tell you one of the most gifted teachers in all the churches there. Pietro, when he stands up to teach a class or to deliver a sermon, you can be sure he is going to teach the text and he's going to have something to teach you while he's there. Emanuele, Giovanni, I don't know if you knew this or not. He comes from a mafia family in Naples. He works now in Monfalcone, and he works in a guild of electricians. But he left Naples because he wanted to get away from that kind of life. He became a Christian as a result of his studies with Johnny Verdini. Andrea, this is Silvio, who is married into Nikolai's family and Silvio's little son. One of the things we have done with our materials from Grotto is to publish some books regarding our studies. And we do that because there's just very little material written in Italian that can be given to people to help them in their study of the Bible. So we're working on that. You've been very patient about this. For those of you that know something about the background of the work, this was perhaps a little more meaningful to you. For others, I hope it wasn't confusing to you. But in any event, I just want to say to you that in other parts of the world, there are some very simple, humble people who have never seen a church building like this, who are doing what they can do to live a life that glorifies God and to tell others about Jesus Christ. And I appreciate you letting me this morning tell you about